Well, Tim, it's great to finally have you on my show after all this time. And Tim, talk about the new Three Tremors album, which is a fantastic record that you are singing on. And talk about this new project you're involved with.
Well, it's really cool. You know, it's cool that I get to do different things all the time. And you know, and the thing is, when Sean called me on this and said, hey, you know, I got this idea to do this record is the main thing. When he said he wanted to do a CD or recording, that was the main goal. It wasn't let's get three singers together and go tour, play our back catalog, and you know, which I love doing that as well. But he sold me on let's do this thing, let's make a record and let's tour doing that. You know, so that's exactly what has happened. You know, and I think that's what makes this different than anybody else. We've come out of the gate with an album. I mean, we even did a European tour of 17 shows, and we back in I can't remember when it was now, October or somewhere in there, I think. But you know, no record out. You know, so we're up there playing 12 songs on tour that no one's, they've only heard a few online. So, but anyways, that's what makes this thing different than anything else. And you know, and made a classic sounding power metal in your face record.
You know, Sean, in a previous interview, Sean Peck, you know, talked about, you know, how great of a vocalist you are. And I've known Sean a long time. I know he's loved your singing for quite a long time. And you finally get to work together. And, you know, what's it like to work with Sean in this band?
Well, it is great. You know, Sean and I became friends when I was in Judas Priest. You know, that Cage opened up for Priest in San Diego. And then, you know, then throughout the years, we'd see each other at festivals in Europe. And things like that, and you know, maybe at NAMM or in LA or whatever, you know. But I, you know, the thing is, we always got along really well, became friends, and that's the difference. You know, usually that's how it is with people. And you know, I met Harry the same way years ago touring. I think I might have even been in Beyond Fear at the time doing some shows. And but we're all the same, you know. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, you know, you do look up to your legend. The one who told me that, who treated me like that right away, besides the Judas Priest guys, I mean, they were treating me like gold, and it was great. Like, we were best friends. But, you know, Ronnie James Dio was the same. He's like, man, you, because I'm like, dude, I idolize you. And he's like, you're one of us now, man. And yeah, we're the same. And I think that's plus my upbringing with my family. And but we're all of us singers and musicians, we're all the same. We all want to do the same thing. And you know, we become friends. And yeah, I mean, you know, just hanging out with those guys and hearing them sing letting, you know, I'll just go like, hey, yeah, you can hit that note. You know, you guys can do all that. You can do all that you want now. But it's great. I think that's the big thing. We're three different persons, you know, we're different types of people who all get along really well, and including the band as well. I mean, you have to get along. So touring is easy. And hanging out and hearing their vocals, and it's a good time.
Now, Harry Conklin always seems like a very intense individual, and Sean was talking about in the interview where, like, you know, you wake up in the morning and Harry just gets up and he's all hyped up and he's singing and you know, but he's a pretty intense individual. I met him once or twice years ago, and talk about what it's like working with Harry Conklin in this band.
Yeah, he's great. He is a funny guy, and yeah, I don't know if he's up early in the morning warming up. He's just singing. He has this personality where he gets in the van and we start going to the airport or whatever we're doing, you know, going to the next gig or driving 6 hours, whatever we happen to be doing that day. And he's singing anything in the back of the van. It could be anything from Britney Spears to Rush. I don't know. He's just back there singing anything. And he's just having a blast. And Harry is funny and makes us laugh and is nonstop. I mean, he is crazy. I'm not sure if it's all, you know, all he has everything upstairs there, because he comes up with some crazy stuff and I'm just like, man. And I'm the opposite, actually. When I tour, I don't want, you know, like, listen, I don't want to talk. Don't talk to me. I just kind of zone in. I get in a shell, and I'm like, I'll put my hoodie on. I've had bands that have been my bands that I tour with that they did a whole tour thinking, man, I hardly even hear you talk. It's just because I'm Ice Shell. So then you got Harry on the flip side. And then you got Sean in the middle. So everybody kind of does their own thing. But Harry just, yeah, he just goes and goes and goes. He's definitely an energizer bunny.
Now, watching you guys, you know, listening to this album and imagining you guys on stage, I mean, this is phenomenal. I mean, you guys really seem to work very well together, you know, every time I listen to this album.
Yeah, it is. And the thing is, it is us three on stage. I mean, you know, we don't take turns. We're up there just all belting it out the whole concert. I'll be up there by myself singing like Burning Hell, doing a classic, and then Harry will be doing a Jack Panzer song, and Sean will be doing a Cage song. So that's the only real times that we take the stage by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what's great about it, you know. And we just get up there and take control, all of us.
What I thought was interesting is, you know, Sean had told me that you guys had all recorded these songs and did your own versions of them. And then when you got in the studio, you know, you basically picked out what parts are going to go where and, you know, whose parts fit the best. And I still right now still refuse to look at this vocal guidebook because I'm still trying to I want to guess and see if I'm right. You know, I'm trying to figure out who's singing what parts and trying to distinguish which singer from the next. And it's been kind of a fun challenge for me, you know, in a sense, while listening to this album.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of times Harry and Sean really sound alike, so it's really tough. Even for me, we'll be sitting there going, who did what? Now, when we went and did the concert, we still probably changed things up even more. We don't do exactly what we did on the album. We might mm-hmm. think, yeah, that doesn't work as well. Let's kind of, you know, we don't want to chop it up too much live. We might want to say, just take that whole verse or something, you know? But yeah, I mean, those two on the record, there's a lot of similarities to a lot of parts. So it's tough, but it is funny because that is exactly true. And it wasn't even that we took the best parts. They just took the parts that fit the moment, that maybe, the character was right, or, you know, it's just that let's just mix this up and use that. It's going to be great to hear my version of the record or Sean's version of the record or Harry's, because that's the plan is kind of let's release. You know, I recorded the whole record. You know, that's how it was. I went in the studio, recorded every song myself. That's what's hard about touring, though, man, because then you got to figure out, man, I don't know. I just sang the whole record. What part am I supposed to be singing now? I don't even. It was like we were going for a Broadway show because we had a script of like, you know, originally here's the script. This is what you're going to be singing because we don't even know what we don't even know.
Yeah, you know, I remember, you know, Sean and I talking about him wanting to do something like this a few years ago. And, you know, what's interesting is, you know, the more I thought about him doing this and getting this underway, you know, my whole thought was that if the musical chemistry in this band, between all the singers especially, if the musical chemistry is going to be good, this album is going to be amazing. And it really is. I mean, you guys have great musical chemistry together.
Well, I agree. I think it is. And you know, it's not just us again. It's having the band members and those guys being spot on and being perfect for the situation. I think that's the one thing that helps mold it together, you know. I mean, we didn't, you know, originally I think he was thinking about bringing in different musicians as well and kind of making it like this big thing, but you know, now it's three singers with a real band. The songs are written and played, and then we do, you know, and we're growing with chemistry as well. I mean, that tour in Europe really helped us out to figure different things out.
So getting off the Three Tremors topic a little bit here, because since I've never had you on my radio show, I got a little bit of catching up to do, and there's a lot of questions I would really love to ask you. You know, your solo album, Play My Game, had come out a few years back, and do you have any plans to possibly put out another solo record down the road here?
Yeah, I absolutely will. I mean, you know, I kind of consider like the Beyond Fear record to be the same. I think that's kind of like a solo record as well, and, you know, we were writing a new Beyond Fear record / solo record in the past, but you know, the I'm having fun doing different things. I definitely want to get this out. Probably the next thing I'll be putting out eventually here will be that. But, you know, I'm fortunate that I get to tour most of the time. This last year and this year is going to be a little different for me because I've kind of taken a break from it. But I usually tour solo under my name. I have a band in Brazil I use. I have a band in Argentina I use. I have a band in Colombia that I'll use. I have a band in Ireland that I use. So these different markets I go to, I can do with a set. And they're freaking amazing bands. And I do my stuff from Jugulator, Demolition, solo record, Charred Walls of the Damned, Winter's Bane, Beyond Fear, you know, Iced Earth. I'll do everything from my catalogs. And it's great that I do it. You know, I can put a new solo record out, but I've been fortunate these last years of writing music on other records, you know. I mean, right now, putting out the Three Tremors, putting out three Charred Walls of the Damned records, doing the Three Tremors, having Spirits of Fire come out with Chris Caffrey that we wrote with Roy Z and did that, and then, you know, doing another one called A New Revenge, which was Project Rock. That's going to be coming out. I have like three records coming out at the same time that I wrote the record with Carrie Kelly. So I'm still writing music and doing things. And I don't have to run and do a solo record because I need to do it for the money. And I think that's what a lot of people wind up doing it for. I get to do all these records because I love it. You know, I still get paid to do them all, but I love to do them. So I think next in line will definitely be a solo record.
Now, I put up a podcast about, and part of that podcast had a lot to do with you and your career. And one of the things I talked about is that, you know, the last Priest album I really loved was Jugulator. And I think that, you know, your vocal range, besides doing the high screams, I've always told people you have a great mid-range and even a lower range to your vocals. And, you know, Priest had gone into that whole realm with Painkiller, where they started going into a heavier direction, and they ended up obviously going into the direction of Jugulated, which was much heavier and a little darker. And I really think that you fit in really well there. And let's talk about that, you know, beginning stage of your career with them, and, you know, talk about the whole, you know, Jugulated thing with you, you know, right after you joined Priest and in recording that album.
Well, it was a great era. I mean, the two records, that and Demolition, to me, Demolition and Time ended up becoming my favorite one I did with them because there's some of my favorite songs on it as a whole. But Jugulator is an amazing record, and what I like about it was hard to record because they were like kids in a candy store with me. I've always described this. I mean, Glenn was like, he would just say, "Can you do this? Can you sound like this? Can you sing like this?" So that's why, you know, it's got all the way from death metal undertones that I'm singing underneath, like death metal, to the high notes. Mm-hmm. So it's really it's funny because people don't realize this. It probably has one of the biggest ranges of vocals on it that I've done on a record because of that. I'll do this new record. People go, "Yeah, that's the singing I want to hear." Well, it was all on Jugulator. You know, it was all, and Iced Earth had a wide range as well, but the only one that has never been put as much on a record until maybe Beyond Fear was the death metal type, the hard, you know, Pantera death metal kind of voice. Glenn loved it, man. He would just always push me and push me and push me, like, "Do this," because he knew I could do it. You know, I had a different type of range that I had, this different voices that I could sing. It was a great time and great records, and, you know, one of my favorite songs of all time was Bloodstained. So it was great, you know. And then to come back, new songs like Hell Is Home and One on One, there's those death metal undertones in, which is, it's a great, the studio version is fantastic when I go back and listen to it, because it has that. I always said it needed to be a song that a wrestler or a boxer would be coming into the ring with.
Right.
You know, because, but it was great, and yeah, I think, you know, listen, it was a different singer, different time. First of all, heavy metal was almost non-existent at that time. I mean,
right.
No bands, AC/DC, I don't care who you were, you weren't playing arenas, first of all. It was bad. It was a really bad part of metal at that time, you know. So, mm-hmm. But those records to me are amazing.
Now, Demolition was even a much different album than they ever did. And for me, Tim, Priest never really put out the same album, in my opinion. You know, every album was always just so different from each other.
One time they did it. Screamer for Vengeance and Defenders of the Faith.
Right.
It was the only two, because Screamer for Vengeance was their biggest record, so they just carbon copied it with an amazing record. You know, that's what's funny. It wasn't just carbon copied. Defenders of the Faith is freaking amazing.
Right.
But those are the two records that had, you know, Screamer for Vengeance and Free Will Burning and Some Heads Are Gonna Roll and You Got Another Thing Coming. You know, it was really kind of Fever and When the Night Comes Down. It was like, let's do the same type of deal. But yeah, I've always said the same thing. Judas Priest changed with every record. They changed. They listened to what's going on. You know, all of a sudden Painkiller comes out and Glenn's playing arpeggios, you know. And so they did that. And that's why I fell in love with Judas Priest. I didn't like every record either. I didn't like Turbo at the time. I didn't like Ram It Down. But that didn't mean, you know, I'm still the biggest fan, you know, and that's just how it was.
Now, I remember, you know, seeing Iced Earth years and years ago, you know, back when the Something Wicked album had come out, and, you know, going to see them at a place called Ron's Crossroads, which I'm sure, you know, not very far from where you're at. And, you know, I remember them, you know, giving you a shout out. And I remember when Matt, you know, kind of left the band, I kept thinking to myself, you know, Ripper Owens would probably sound pretty good in Iced Earth. And I kept going on my radio show and telling everybody, I think you'd be a great replacement for him. And then it happened. And then you put out a pretty good performance on The Glorious Burden, you know, when it came out. And obviously I liked the album after that, The Framing Armageddon. So, you know, just briefly, let's talk a bit about your Iced Earth career since we're at that stage right now, you know, after Priest. And, you know, talk about your experience being in Iced Earth.
Well, it was great. You know, I always described it in a weird way. I always described it as you're still in the major leagues with it, you know, but it was like the major leagues, you know, but maybe coming out of the bullpen or something. I know it was a weird, weird way. Or like I'm playing for the Akron Arrows now, but it's still the major leagues. Iced Earth crowds were as big, if not bigger. Here was the only difference. You tell someone you sing for Iced Earth when you're around town, they go, "Who is that? What is that? Is that a what kind of band is that?" Most normal people never heard of them. You say you're the lead singer for Judas Priest, and everybody heard of Judas Priest,
right?
So that was the only difference. But crowd wise, album sales wise, everything about it really was amazing, you know. And the records were fantastic. I tend to like Framing Armageddon better, and I always get shot down by people because Glorious Burden's fantastic and the Gettysburg thing's amazing. And I'm not saying it's not. It's just I think the actual vocals on Framing Armageddon are better because it was written for me more at the time. But I was lucky to go. You know, I was still in Judas Priest when I recorded the Glorious Burden vocals. Mm-hmm. It's at the end of Judas Priest. There wasn't much going on. I saw the writing on the wall. I wasn't getting paid any money at that time. And it was like, yeah, and I went and recorded. I asked him, I said, yeah, go ahead and record it. Didn't join the band. I just recorded the vocals. And then I was like, man, this stuff is unbelievable. So I was lucky to be able to move right from Judas Priest right into Iced Earth.
Now, I always thought that you fit better on Framing Armageddon because of the fact that it was really meant for you because the songs were written for you, where Glorious Burden, you kind of go into the studio and sing songs that were written, you know, when Matt was in the band. So I've always had that impression that Framing Armageddon was the better of the two albums, at least for you vocally.
I did for me, and I think it was a wider range of vocals. You know, there was raspier vocals, there was lower vocals, I just thought it was a wider range of characters. I always like to say characters. I mean, I'm definitely never going to sing as low as, or as full as Matt Barlow in his low voice. It has that low, low melodic voice, but I thought there was more characters on Framing Armageddon.
The only thing about Iced Earth that I thought was a little bit strange is the way they let you go. You know, when you just kind of one day were just out of the band. And it was a little bit bizarre to me with how that whole situation ended.
I know that. I'm going to say one reason was probably money. I wasn't getting paid a lot of money. I was getting paid decent, though. But I'm certain that they were able to go back and get Matt, make the fans happy, and John could probably pocket some more money, you know, because he probably was, at the end of the day, Matt was probably going to get less. Mm-hmm. Because he's probably just getting some, but I don't know how it was. It was done wrong. I'm friends with well, I'm really good friends with Matt. I'm friends with John. I'm friends with everybody. It worked out way better for me when I left Iced Earth, to be honest, in the long run. But it was handled wrong. I mean, I was on my way to his house. I happened to look at an email the last second before I walked out of the door. I was on my way to record saying that I got fired and he's going to teach, you know. Before that, he sent me a message saying he needs to teach me how to be a good singer and front man. And then he fires me, which is fantastic. But at the same time, at the same moment, he pushed the button to send to Blabbermouth. So before I even read it, it was already on Blabbermouth. Mm-hmm. The same exact message he sent me. So like a brothers and sisters, right. Blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it is what it is. Things happen for a reason, and it was a blessing for me. Because I got to be honest, I didn't want to be in that band anymore either. Beyond Fear came out. I realized I had this niche of being able to do my own thing. So it was time. The writing was on the wall for that.
And, right.
You know, it was, it just was handled wrong. And everybody probably knows that, but we're all friends now. So,
You know, and I have the utmost respect for John because early on I met him. I remember him coming and playing here in Cleveland before really anybody knew who they were. And like, I don't know, hardly anybody showing up to see them at the time. But, you know, he kind of looked at me when I interviewed him, you know, 20 years ago, 20 some years ago, and said, you know what? He goes, persistence and dedication and tenacity and all that stuff is going to pay off. And I thought about that. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm like, you know, he's right. Because then a few years later, you know, Iced Earth really started to get bigger. And I remembered those words and the words that he said to me back then really started to rub off on me. And I started applying those same things to my own life. And I think that John is one of those dedicated guys, one of the hardest working guys that I have ever met in the music business.
You're 100% right. Here's the thing. People go, that should just be called the John Schaefer Band because he runs the band. Well, yeah, he does run the band. He started the band, and he was the one who probably spent all of his money trying to do it at one time. And he's the only guy left, and he's went through, you know, a ton of band members, you know, more singers and bass players and drummers. It's kind of like a Spinal Tap thing, but it's his thing. He's taken the chance. He's taken responsibility. And so, you know, yeah, you know, it's basically like an Yngwie thing. I mean, it's pretty much what it is. It's just Iced Earth is basically like an Yngwie. You have Yngwie, you have John Schaefer. It's just one is called the guy's name and one is still the band's name.
Well, you know, and the thing is, too, is Yngwie, I've had him on the show before. Great person. A lot of fun to be around. He's a pretty funny guy. You know, for you to go work with him and, you know, he's obviously a phenomenal guitar player, very influential one. And what was it like working with Yngwie Malmsteen on a few records?
Yeah, listen, I got along good, really good with him. You know, listen, I did this because, again, I was asked to record a record with Yngwie. And it's Yngwie Malmsteen. No matter what I heard about him, no matter what people say, he's a guy that changed the face of guitar playing.
Yeah. You know,
and I'm like, yeah, I'll go make a record. And, I had a good time with him, you know. I mean, I left. I actually quit Yngwie, and I would never even announce it. I just, you know, my manager Wendy Dio got a hold of him and said, "Hey, Tim's going to quit," because I didn't have time to tour. I was doing a lot of solo touring, and when he would ask me to tour, I couldn't do it. So I actually quit to let him go get a singer and do it. But I had a good time with him. I mean, listen, it's Yngwie. He is what he is. You know, everybody knows that, but he treated me good, and I still, you know, listen, I'd go do a tour with him again if he said, hey, you want to tour? and it was the right time, I'd go do shows with him. I had a good time, you know. Mm-hmm. He's a character, that's for sure. He's a funny, listen, as I'm there, he tells jokes all the time. He's a pretty funny guy. Mm-hmm.
Now, the Three Tremors obviously is going to be touring, and talk about the upcoming tour that's going to be happening here in a couple months.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm excited to do it. I mean, last year I did a lot of touring in the U.S. shows with Dio Disciples, and I love touring the U.S. I mean, really, the U.S. playing as a normal band is just the same as it is anywhere else. I mean, people always think metal's bigger in other countries. Well, I mean, Manowar is bigger in another country, but that's Manowar.
Mm-hmm.
Metal is in hard rock. I mean, it's saturated because everybody's touring. That's one thing, and it's great though. The fans are great. The venues are great. A lot of good stuff. So I'm really looking forward to doing this. I mean, the record's not even going to be out yet when we start the tour. So,
right.
It's going to be really exciting. I'm excited to do this, and I think the fans will have fun coming out to the shows. And yeah, I didn't used to tour U.S. as much, and it wasn't because I couldn't. It was just because the other opportunities to tour solo, the agents called me and hooked it up, and I was touring South America a couple times a year, and Mexico and Europe, and flying here and there, and that was just how it worked out. I have agents nonstop trying to get me to tour the U.S. solo. It's just all the time. Let's hook it up. I can give you 30 shows. And I just never do it because the other ones were easier to put together. Put everything together. But this, it's kind of changed now. I'm looking forward to doing more touring in the U.S. And this one I'm really excited to do. And, you know, listen, anybody can check the Three Tremors websites, my Facebook page, my Instagram, my Twitter. It's easy to find that stuff on there. All the dates are going to be all over the place, so you'll be able to find it.
Now, you got a lot of really great stuff for sale on the website as well. A lot of cool pre-order packs, and tell everybody about that.
Well, they're all on there. You go to the website, we got these packs, these digipacks and shirts, bundles, and, you know, there's a... You know, if you go to our website, you will... it's the... threetremors.com, and you'll find everything. And he's thought of it, you know, anywhere from playing like a baseball card of like a player card. We each have our own little player card, and there's just everything there to get, you know. Mm-hmm. So this is old school, you know. This is how we used to do. We used to love it. We used to love to get all these different things, and you can definitely get it. Go to the websites and look at all these different things we have, and there's a pledge site, so there's plenty of places to get it.
Now, I want to touch on another band that you know, are a part of, and you put some albums out with, Charred Walls of the Damned. And I got to tell you, I love this project as well, this band as well. And I really love the second album the best. You know, I really dig this stuff. And, you know, are you guys looking to put out a new album anytime soon with them?
Not yet. I don't know what's up with Richard. You know, that's Richard Christie's baby, so we'll see what happens with that. And I love it, too. My favorite record was the last one we did. Actually, in the order, my least favorite would be the middle record, which is kind of funny. But I love them all so much. It's one of my favorite things. I agree with you. And I think it was a couple of years ago now that we released it. It might be 2016. I'm not sure. But, yeah, so we'll see what Richard says and what he thinks is going to, you know, what he wants to do. And if we want to do a new one. And so I guess that's it.
Well, Tim, is my last question, and I ask everybody this, of course. You know, my thing is this, man. Any last words to the fans that are going to be checking out this interview on my radio show?
Well, yeah, I mean, support metal, support local metal as well, and support metal and music. And, you know, come out and watch the shows. I mean, this is how we do our thing now. So come out and support it. Come out and say hello and have a blast.